All right, welcome in everyone to another deep dive.
Yeah, excited for this one.
I think this one is really going to resonate with a lot of our listeners in the Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena area because we're talking about Froberg's Farm.
Ooh, yeah, a classic.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people, at least in our area, have probably been there or at least heard of it.
Right, especially if you're into that whole local, getting your food locally thing.
Exactly. And, for this deep dive, we've gathered a bunch of information. Primarily from their website, going way back into their history, all the different things they
We were
offer.
surprised there's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking everything from the bakery to the Christmas tree farm, the fall festival, all that, plus, all the kind of day-to-day stuff they do.
Like field trips for the kids.
Yeah, the strawberry picking, of course.
Man, forget the strawberries.
So for our listeners, those of you interested in local impact, how businesses shape our community, this is a really great example to dig into.
Definitely. I think we can all learn a thing or two from a place that's been around as long as Froberg's and really become a part of the community,
Exactly. So think of this as a deep dive into those layers, into that history.
Peeling back the onion of Froberg's farm.
That's one way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But ultimately, our mission here is to understand, how they operate, what their role is in our community, and what makes them such a, I guess you could say, an institution in the area.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
And, we often say they're located on Highway 6, but that's not actually where their story starts.
Right, so when you go to their website and look at their history, it says they officially started at that Highway 6 location in 1936, but the Froberg family was already serving the community. Get this, back in 1894.
Wow, that's going way back.
Yeah, so that's like well over a century of local history right there.
Yeah, crazy to think about.
So they were originally over off Highway 35, actually, and moved around a bit in Brazoria County before they finally settled on those 22 acres where the store and the Froberg family homes are now.
That's interesting. So even back then, they were already kind of moving around, adapting to, I guess, where the community needed them to be.
Right. It seems like that's always been a part of their story.
Yeah, and I think a big part of their story that really kind of kicked things off is their focus on strawberries.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Strawberries are their thing.
Yeah, so back in 1936, when they set up shop on that land, it was all strawberries all the time.
And then the war happened, right?
Yeah, and that's where things get interesting because a lot of the local folks were off fighting, which meant there weren't enough people to pick the berries.
So they had to get creative.
Exactly, and that's where the whole pick your own strawberries idea came from.
Wow. So it was born out of necessity, huh?
Yeah, it was a practical solution to a real problem, but it ended up becoming a tradition that people love.
It's like it wasn't just about getting the work done, it was about connecting people to the farm, to where their food comes from.
Right, and you can see that thread throughout their history, always finding ways to connect to the community.
Totally.
So the original owners, Fred and Katie Froberg, they had four children, and their youngest son, Alfred, who was known as Coon.
Coon! That's a unique nickname.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, he was involved in the farm from his high school days.
Really? So he was practically born into the business.
Pretty much, yeah. But then he went off to serve in the Korean War.
Oh, wow. So the farm had to keep going without him.
Yeah, and the website actually talks about how much they struggled during that time.
It really shows you how important every person is, especially in a family business like that.
Definitely.
So what happened when Kuhn came back from the war?
Well, he and his dad, they really started to expand things.
How so?
They grew even more strawberries and they added vegetables to their offerings.
Okay, so they were branching out a bit.
Yeah, and get this, their first actual farm store was just set up under two big trees, an oak and a pecan.
Really? That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it must have been a really unique spot for the community to come together and get their fresh produce.
Yeah, it's like a little snapshot of a different time, a much simpler way of life.
Totally. So fast forward a bit, Coon married Joanne in 1960. And together they took over the farm when Fred passed away in 1961.
Okay, so the next generation's stepping up.
Exactly. And they had five children of their own, Richard, Kathy, Alfred Jr., Lisa, and Paul, and they all helped out on the farm too.
Wow, so it was truly a family affair.
Absolutely. And that's a big part of what makes Froberg so special, that multi-generational involvement, that connection to the community that's been built over so many years.
Yeah, it's not just a business, it's like a legacy.
Exactly. And they kept evolving, adapting to the needs of the community.
So what came next?
Well, in 1978, they built their first enclosed winter store.
That's interesting. So they were expanding beyond just the open air market.
Yeah, and it's not just about selling produce. The website mentions that people would gather there, especially in the colder months, and Coon would crack pecans for them by the wood stove.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it really shows that personal touch, you know, that sense of community that they've always fostered.
Yeah, it wasn't just about buying and selling, it was about connecting with people.
Right, so then in 1988, Alfred Jr., Coon's son, got married and started to get more involved in running the farm.
Okay, so another generation joining the ranks.
Yep. And then in 1993, they added homemade pies to their offerings.
Ooh, the pies. I've heard those are legendary.
They are, and I'm sure they've brought a lot of joy to people in the area over the years.
For sure.
Sadly, though, Coon passed away in 2002, and shortly after that, Joanne retired.
Oh, that's sad to hear.
Yeah, it was. But Alfred Jr. stepped up and took over.
So the torch was passed once again.
Yeah, and he really ushered in a period of significant growth and change.
In what ways?
Well, he expanded the amount of land they were farming, and he introduced a wider variety of produce.
So they were really starting to diversify.
Yeah, and that original smaller store just couldn't handle all the new stuff, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So in 2003, they opened a much larger store, which was a pretty big deal for them.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a pretty significant expansion.
It was. And then in 2014, they renovated that store even further.
Oh, wow. So they weren't afraid to keep investing and improving things.
Yeah, and this renovation wasn't just cosmetic. They turned the store into a full-service bakery, added restrooms, air conditioning, really made it a comfortable space for people to shop and spend time.
Yeah, that's smart, especially in our climate.
Exactly. And they even call it a community grocery store now.
So it's more than just a farm stand, it's like a destination.
Yeah, and then last year, in 2023, Alfred Jr.'s nephew, Tyler Froberg, joined the operation.
So the fourth generation, that's impressive.
It is, and he brought with him experience in agriculture and a real passion for the work, and now he's working alongside Alfred Jr. and his wife, Christy.
So they're all working together to keep that legacy going.
Yeah, it's really a testament to the power of family and community, you know?
For sure.
So it's clear that Froberg's is about more than just selling produce, right?
They have this whole rethinking food philosophy.
Yeah, what's that all about?
So it's not just about growing food, it's about thinking about the entire food system, you know, how the food is grown, who has access to it, the environmental impact, all of that.
Oh, interesting. So it's like a bigger picture view of food.
Exactly. And they're really trying to put it into practice here in Alvin.
Yeah, and their mission statement really reflects that. They talk about fostering a sustainable food system and bringing the community closer to agriculture.
And they do that not just through their daily operations, but also through all the events they host.
Right, and their annual fall festival is a great example of that.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge event.
Yeah, it runs from September 20th to November 2nd in 2025, and it's all about connecting families to the farm and creating memories.
I bet the kids love it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they have so much stuff there: a corn maze, a bee coaster, a train ride, a jumping pillow, all kinds of games and activities.
Wow, it sounds like a full day of fun.
It is. And they have food vendors there too, so you can really make a day of it.
Like a little festival atmosphere?
Yeah, exactly. And then they have the Christmas tree farm too.
Oh, right, I forgot about that.
It's at a separate location and it's only open for a few days in late November, but it's a really cool experience to go and cut down your own tree.
Yeah, that's something special.
And they have a Christmas shop at a market there too.
So it's like a whole Christmas experience.
Yeah, and then they offer field trips too for schools and groups.
Oh, that's great. So they're really educating the next generation about agriculture.
Yeah, and of course, we have to talk about the strawberry picking.
Right, that's like their signature thing.
Yeah, so their strawberry festival is in March, but the picking season can sometimes go from January to May, depending on the weather.
Okay, so it's not always just a March thing.
Right, but if you are planning to go picking, there are a few things to keep in mind.
Like what?
Well, you have to use their buckets, which you can buy for $2.
Okay, makes sense.
And during festival times, there's a $5 entrance fee.
And how much are the strawberries themselves?
$5 a pound.
Okay, so you got to factor that in.
Yeah, and picking ends at 5 p.m., last entry at 4:30.
Got it.
And they really emphasize not stepping on the rows and, of course, paying for all the berries you pick.
Yeah, that's fair.
Plus, they have extra stuff going on during the festival weekends.
So it's even more festive than usual.
Exactly. And then beyond the festivals and stuff, their country stores open year-round.
Oh, wow. So you can get fresh produce from them pretty much anytime.
Yeah, 7 days a week, except for major holidays.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they have their own produce, plus other fresh stuff they source.
So it's like a one-stop shop for local goodness.
And then there's the bakery, which is open every day.
Ooh, yeah, the pies.
They have over 35 flavors of fried pies, plus cookies, jellies, jams, all kinds of stuff.
Homemade goodness, gotta love it.
And they supply produce to local restaurants too, through their farm-to-table program.
Oh, that's cool. So they're supporting other local businesses.
Yeah, it's all about that community connection.
For sure.
And they have a produce calendar on their website so you can see what's in season.
Handy.
Yeah, and for March 2025, they have cabbage, collards, kale, mustard, radish, strawberries, and turnips.
Nice. So it gives you an idea of what to expect.
Yeah, but they do recommend calling ahead to check on availability.
Makes sense. Things can change depending on the weather and all that.
Exactly. And if you're interested in seeing what goes on behind the scenes, they have a farm vlog on social media.
Oh, cool. So you can get a glimpse into their daily life.
Yeah. And they offer photography sessions, too, in some of their prettier spots, like the strawberry field and the corn maze.
Nice. That's a cool opportunity for photographers.
And if you want to stay up to date on all their events and stuff, you can sign up for their email newsletter.
That's always a good way to get the latest info.
Okay, so just a few practical details. Their address is 3601 Highway 6 in Alvin, Texas, 77511.
Got it.
Their email is froebergsfarm@froebergsfarm.com, and their phone number is 281-585-3531.
Okay, good to know.
And they do have a disclaimer on their website reminding people that it's a working farm, so there were risks involved.
Yeah, that's important to remember, safety first.
So I think we've covered a lot about Froebergs Farm. What really stands out to you about their story?
You know, what strikes me is just how much they've evolved over the years. I mean, from a simple strawberry farm to this multifaceted operation that's so deeply rooted in the community.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And it speaks to their resilience, their ability to adapt to changing times and needs.
Exactly. And they've managed to do all that while staying true to their core values, you know, family, community, fresh food, all of that.
Yeah. And I think for our listeners in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, this is a great example of the kind of impact local businesses can have.
Right. They're not just selling products or services. They're creating experiences, building connections, and really enriching the fabric of our community.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder what other hidden gems are out there.
Yeah.
Right?
What other businesses have these long histories and deep connections to our area?
So for everyone listening, I encourage you to take a look around your own neighborhoods, see what's been there for a while. You might be surprised by what you find.
Yeah. Sometimes the most interesting stories are right under our noses.
Exactly. And that's something to think about as we wrap up this deep dive.
Thanks for joining us.
And we'll see you next time.